We'll now hear our scripture reading.
The scripture is from John 14, verses 15 to 21. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them.
Thank you, Bill. Well, as I said, I had planned to start my message today talking about the differences in the chat between connecting in person and connecting with technology. And we've had more of an experience of that this morning than we wanted. As we've said many times over the last several weeks, we've been grateful for the ways technology has been allowing us to continue connecting. But I think, as we all know, technology is great until it isn't. And today we've experienced some of those challenges. But it's made me do some thinking about the ways that in-person connecting has a different quality, the ways that being with someone, it's reminded me the ways that we pick up on body language or feel another person's energy, breathe the same air. And so our bodies connect and know in different ways. And you've probably read or heard things that I've been hearing about how being on Zoom or on screens with each other takes more work to actually really, especially those of you who are doing things like meetings or particularly therapy are experiencing how it takes more work to try to understand where somebody is and what they're feeling and what's going on with them. I've actually heard through our friend, Janine Schuyler-Jones, that Cynthia Bourgeau, the wisdom teacher, is very skeptical, maybe even distrustful of online ways of connecting like Zoom, because she says it's not the same. And Cynthia, as you know, really puts this emphasis on our three centers of knowing: intellectual, emotional, and bodily centers of knowing. And she was already critical that in the 21st century, we focus too much on our heads, on our intellect, and don't give enough attention and don't value enough the wisdom, the ways of knowing that's in our bodies. So how much more now are we experiencing that? But Cynthia is also someone who has written the whole idea that in his post-resurrection appearances, Jesus was teaching his disciples how to know him without his physical presence, without him being there with them in a body. Jesus was teaching them how to know and love and follow him when he wasn't there in person. We're coming to the end of the Easter season, according to the church calendar. And so it's interesting that this Sunday before what was called Ascension, the remembering of Jesus going back to heaven, finally leaving the earth bodily, the teachings, the gospel reading from John, goes back to what he said the night before he died, his farewell words before everything changed and he was never with them again in the body in the same way. Because that night he was arrested, and then condemned to die and crucified and died on a cross, and his body was buried in a tomb. And on the third day when he rose again, he was alive in a whole new way. He had what Paul came to talk about as a resurrection. He appeared bodily, but he appeared and disappeared. He came and went. And then he was gone completely in the body. Back to heaven, we say. how were those disciples supposed to still follow him? How were they supposed to know what he wanted them to do? And how do we, 2,000 years later, trust and follow a Jesus whose face we have never seen, whose voice we've never actually heard? How do we even know he's real? It is at the heart of many of the questions of faith over the centuries. And Jesus' answer, again and again, and so clearly here in John's gospel, is we know him, we follow him through love and through the Spirit. Because love and spirit transcend all distance and time. Love and spirit bind us together and to God beyond physical presence. If we love him, as we love him, we follow his teachings and we love one another. We love God and our neighbor and ourselves. And as we grow in this love, we grow in our knowing and our connecting in ways that are not dependent on seeing and touching. We learn deeper ways of knowing and loving. Because of love and the Spirit, we can know Jesus Christ here and now. He did not, he does not ever leave us alone. We are never left as orphans, never abandoned, never without help. His disciples then and now are given the Spirit. The Greek word for the Holy Spirit is paraclete, which means literally one who comes alongside. It gets translated comforter, counselor, advocate, helper, spirit of truth. The Spirit is all of that and more. The Spirit is the one who, as Paul wrote, prays for us when we do not know how to pray, with sighs too deep for words. The Spirit is holy divine presence that is as close as our own breathing, closer than Jesus the man was ever able to be. The barriers of physical distinct bodies dissolved. The Spirit is not just alongside us, but is within us. We are made one, one with Christ Jesus, one with the Spirit, one with our Mother, Father, Creator, God. And one with each other. We, as followers of Jesus, the body of Christ, are a community that knows about this. The church is often forgotten, gotten too tied to its buildings, its rituals, its special places and special ways of doing things. And we let our language lead us astray. We say the church and mean the building. We talk about going to church, meaning going to a special place and time. But we all know church is more than that. We know that the church has always been the people, has always been a community held together by love and the Spirit, and that church is never limited to a special building or a specific place or time. We are a community that transcends all that. Physical gathering is wonderful and we miss it, but we know and we trust there is a deeper kind of connecting that is always possible. The bonds of love and spirit hold us together and make us one. The woman we know as Julian of Norwich was a 14th century mystic. Some of you, like me, get daily postings from Father Richard Rohr's Center for Action and Contemplation. And this past week's posts were from writings of Julian, because her writings connect so well with John 14, and I think with what we're going through right now. She was an English woman who lived through at least three episodes of the plague, the Black Death sweeping through her community. We must assume that she knew hundreds of people who had died and very possibly lost her own family. Julian knew much about suffering and sickness and death and political upheaval living through that awful time. But that's not why we remember her. We remember her because she had a series of powerful mystical visions, which she called showings. And after years reflecting on them, she finally wrote about them. These are the first writings we have in English by a woman. For much of her life, she lived in an anchor hold, a room built onto the side of St. Julian's Church in Norwich, which is why we now call her Julian. She became known for the church, not the other way around. Her actual name we do not know. That room was her hermit cell, with a small window allowing her to look into the church sanctuary to see and hear worship, but not directly join with others. And another small window to the outside, through which she could speak to people who came to her for comfort and counsel. Somehow that really struck me this week. Julian living isolated in her cell with a small rectangular window on worship and a small rectangular window to view others. And yet what Julian wrote about was not loneliness and isolation, not suffering and grief. What she wrote about was joyful and uplifting and expansive. She is best known for her affirmation of hope and faith. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. But she wrote much more about her experiences of God's love for all of us and about our oneness with God and with one another. She writes, I saw no difference between God and our substance. Our substance is in God. That is to say that God is God, and our substance is a creature in God. For the almighty truth of the Trinity is our Father who made us and keeps us, and the deep wisdom of the Trinity is our Mother in whom we are enclosed, and the high goodness of the Trinity is our Lord, in whom we are enclosed, and He in us. Therefore it follows that as truly as God is our Father, so truly God is our Mother. Our Father wills, our Mother works, our good Lord the Holy Ghost confirms. And therefore it belongs to us to love our God in whom we have our being, for in these is all of our life. I was taught that love is our Lord's meaning. And I saw in this and in everything that before God made us, God loved us. And this love was never abated and never will be. And in this love, God made all things good to us, all profitable to us. And in this love, our life is everlasting. In this love, we have our beginning. And all this shall we see in God without end. Julian coined a special word, her own unique word, for our oneness with God and with one another. She called it oneing. In this oneing, we are made endlessly holy, knitted to God by a knot so subtle and so mighty that it is oned in God. And all souls without end are knit in this knot and oned in this oneing and made holy in this holiness. So she said, if I pay special attention to myself alone, I am nothing. But in general, I am, I hope, in the unity of love, for it is in this oneing that the life of all people consists. The love of God creates in us such a oneing that when it is truly seen, no person can separate themselves from one another. Julian of Norwich, 600 years ago, isolated in her anchor hold, looking out through two small windows on worship and the world, understood, experienced that she was one with God and one with us. All people of faith in all sorts of places throughout time, all one with God and one with us. All those we have ever known and ever loved, all of us one with God and one with one another. All of us, all things living, all connected, all one great communion held together by love and the Spirit. Because love has no limits of time or space. Love is transcendent, eternal. Love never ends. And the Spirit holds us in that love, reveals to us that love, empowers us to live in love. In this time, we are called to a new intentionality and awareness of our oneness, to live into our oneness with the earth and all its creatures, our oneness with each other, our oneness with the Spirit of God in whom we live and move and have our being. We are one community held together by love and the Spirit.